Well, let's spend a few minutes here in continuing our study of the Lord's Prayer. So you could even look at the back of your prayer bulletin there, Matthew 6. We have the Lord's Prayer. And we now are in this fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I wasn't here last Wednesday. I think if I review, then we won't have time to even go any further. So, but we've talked about debts and what that means. Obviously, it's a representative of sin. We've talked about what forgiveness means. It's a separation. And that's what God does in separating our obligation of debt. The debt has been paid, and therefore we're separated from that obligation. And we looked at the parable in Matthew 18 of those two debtors, one forgiven an enormous debt, there's actually another parable, the parable of two debtors. This isn't that one. This is the one who had enormous debt, was forgiven, but then he went to his brother who owed him a small amount in comparison and took him by the throat and said, pay me all. And of course, that shows our debt to God has been forgiven as believers, and therefore we should forgive the small debts of those who are with us. And so we looked at this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And basically, this is a prayer request that we're saying, God, treat me as I treat others. Forgive me as I forgive others. That's kind of a sobering request. And we did mention, though, in our context here, we're talking about relational forgiveness as opposed to, not opposed, but it's different than judicial forgiveness. Our judicial forgiveness is our justification, that on the cross Christ paid the debt. But then there's an ongoing relational forgiveness, and it's about fellowship. And it's about being reconciled in that relationship. And so Christ has paid our debt. If you are a believer, then that debt has been paid. So we go regularly to the Father to pray for forgiveness, not for justification, but this is rooted in that justification. We now have peace. Seeing that we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have a relationship with God because of Christ, because he paid the debt in full. And so we're coming for that relational forgiveness. And so that's kind of where we have stopped. So let's continue on where it gives our obligation to forgive those who have wronged us. That's what Christians do. We forgive. We even are called upon to be merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful, or even to love our enemies. A forgiving heart is evidence of God's work in our heart. So it's evidence that we belong to God. So we need to understand that an unforgiving spirit then is a sin against God. So that's why I'm not in right relationship with God if I'm not in right relationship with others, or at least if I'm not seeking to be in right relationship with others. So we need to understand that then that is sin. So if I go to God and say, forgive me my debts, but I haven't forgiven others, I can't be in that relationally right with God. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about forgiveness and some of the complications of it. But we cannot be in right relationship. That's what Jesus addresses earlier in this same sermon right before he gives this model prayer. We see this in Matthew 5. So if you want to turn to Matthew 5, there's actually three passages that we'll eventually look at that cover three different scenarios when there is a problem between me and another person. Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, and again, this comes right after Jesus saying, you've heard not to murder, but if you hate your brother, you've murdered in your heart. So what do you do? What do you do with that? Will you need to address those problems? So he goes on to say, verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So in this situation, a believer comes to worship. So in our context, this is a believer who comes to church on Sunday morning. And he sings of his love for Jesus, and he gives money in the offering plate. He sits and listens to God's word. But sometime in that service, he remembers something. Not that he forgot to switch his cell phone off. Generally, every service, there's someone that remembers that because it's going off. And everyone else knows that they didn't as well. But that's not what he remembers, okay? He remembers, there's someone that has something against me. There's another brother. So what should that person do, according to Jesus? Should they continue to sing, oh, how they love Jesus? No. Stop singing. Should they wait for the offering plate? Well, maybe they, no. No. But they could give their offering to the usher on their way out before. No, they shouldn't. They should leave and go be reconciled with the brother. Get out of your seat, find that brother. Now, I have heard all kinds of excuses why people have missed church on Sunday. I have never heard this excuse. This would actually be a good excuse. Oh, hey, I missed you. You weren't at church on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Well, I was coming to church, but I remembered I wasn't right with someone. And so I went to be reconciled to them. I've never heard. Anyone else ever heard that before? Nobody. Okay. Now, I have seen people get up and leave in the middle of the preaching and services all the time. Maybe that's what they're doing. I always assume they're going to the washroom or getting a drink or something. I don't know what they're doing, but maybe that's what's happening. But I've never heard actually anyone say that. But that's what Jesus is saying. It's a higher priority than worship, because if you're not right with a brother, you're not right with God. So your worship really isn't worship. That's the point Jesus is making. What do you do? You go to that person to be reconciled with the brother. What if you are the one who has been offended? So this is when you remember there's a brother, there's someone out there that has something against me. And maybe you didn't sin against them, but you know there's something. Maybe you did sin. Maybe there's a misunderstanding, but you go to clear that up. What if you are the one who's been offended? Do you wait around for them to come to you and confess? Well, let's go to Luke 17, and Jesus addresses the other angle. So this is still a problem between you and another believer, but this time it's they've offended you. So this is Luke 17, verse 3. Again, the words of Jesus. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, what does it say? Forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So always extend forgiveness when a person comes to you in repentance. And so, but you have the obligation to go. So if you've sinned against someone, whose responsibility is it to go? My responsibility, right? But what if someone else has sinned against me, whose responsibility it is? My responsibility. You see, you don't get off the hook. It doesn't matter who's done the offending. It's still your responsibility to go. Nick? Well, then he doesn't. I mean, what do you do if you're? Yeah. Right. Well. Yeah. Well, yeah. At that point, I think. I mean, there may be more that you can do. It depends on what that relationship is. If you work with them every day, well, there's probably some more things that you can, you know, do to show love. If you're married to that person, there's probably some more things that you could do. If you're never going to see that person again, then at least they know you've opened the door that you're repentant, and you know, then you can pray for them. So, I mean, if you're in a church, well, we're going to talk about that as well, but probably not tonight. If you're in a church and it's not resolved, then there are increasing steps to go through. So it would probably depend on the case, but it would be your responsibility to do that.
What if you were in a church and they didn't do it biblically according to Scripture?
Well, you're in a bad church, aren't you? You probably should leave that church and go to a biblical church then, right? But again, there's a way to do that. There's a way you should go to the pastor and, you know, and work through those things. So not everything's done, lickety split, but there would be a process. But yeah, if a church isn't willing to handle relationships biblically, then it's not a biblical church. And there's a lot there. Good questions. We will probably come to some more and actually provoke a lot more questions as we get to the third scenario that we'll have to do next time. But always, here it says, always extend forgiveness when a person comes to you in repentance. So that's our responsibility. And Jesus is obviously using exaggeration at this point here. Seven times in a day is pretty far-fetched. But he's using exaggeration to make a point. Unless maybe, I don't know, if you're a parent of a child or something, maybe they actually do the same thing seven times, but it's a little far-fetched that someone would actually sin against you seven times in a day and come to you and repent. And that probably wouldn't show repentance, but Jesus is using some exaggeration here. But what's the point? There's no limit on your forgiveness. If a holy God has forgiven you of all your sin, that parable in Matthew 18, then there should be no limit on your forgiveness. So when Peter says, well, up to seven times, and Jesus says, no, 70 times seven, you can't keep track. You extend forgiveness. What if a person who wronged me is not repentant? Well, Jesus addresses that too, and that's what we'll look at next time in Matthew 18, because there is a process here. And that's a lot of the question is, can you forgive someone who isn't repentant? That's something for you to think about and chew on. But the church does respond differently to someone who is repentant and someone who is not. And Jesus is very clear about that. And so kind of think about that. It's something I've been thinking on for about last month as I've been studying this. Can you forgive someone that's not repentant, who doesn't repent, who doesn't want to? What is our obligation to someone who has wronged us that isn't repentant? And I'm going to have to leave that for you to think on next time, because we need to spend some time in prayer. And but we will discuss that if you have some more questions. But this is where we live, right? How many of you, before we go to prayer, how many of you have been wronged by someone and they've never repented and probably never will? Everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
3 years, and here a couple of months ago, doorbell rings, I come, he walks in, apologize.
Well, that's encouraging. You probably never thought that was going to happen, but it did. Well, that's
what. I just let it lie low. I didn't justify myself. And I was surprised that he didn't come.
Right.
Well,
this is something where we live, and there, we have wounds that the other party is not repentant, and therefore those wounds, really, we have to rely on God to heal. And we'll talk about then how we deal with those if they're inside the church. What if they're an unbeliever? What if they're not alive anymore? We'll talk about some of those situations. But our forgiveness is rooted, when we pray for God to forgive us, we're asking Him, it's conditional, isn't it? And as we saw last time, I mean, this isn't isolated. Jesus says it over and over again. In fact, the commentary in verses, 14 and 15 even talk about, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So just to make it crystal clear. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We've got 20-something minutes here, 22 minutes. And so can split up in groups, look around. And if someone's by themselves, invite them to join you. Remember these many requests on our prayer sheet. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll close in prayer. And enjoy this time of really fellowship together, but talking with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we are your children, that we can call you our Father. We realize that is by your grace and through your work in our hearts. We realize the great cost that makes us your children, the giving of your Son to go to the cross. We're thankful that He was obedient to you as an obedient son. And Father, we want to be obedient children as well, following after Him. Father, we do pray that Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that would begin in our own hearts, obeying Your will, and that it would expand to others as they believe in You and obey Your will, that Your kingdom would come by the submission of hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we pray that Jesus would come quickly. We long for that kingdom. Even as we discussed a little bit about the headlines in our own society, we realize that we are foreigners, that we are strangers, that we are pilgrims on this earth, that we do not belong, that this world is hostile. And as Jesus prayed before the crucifixion in John 17, that we would be hated by the world because He was hated by the world. We know that men love darkness and will not come to the light because they hate the light. Father, we are commanded to let our light shine. I pray that You would help us to stand firm. We do long for Your kingdom to come, that we would be free from sin, that we would be free from opposition, that we would be in Your kingdom to serve You. And yet we are in part now. Father, we do pray that You would forgive us our debts. And we must pray as we forgive others. So, Lord, help us. You know the resistance in our heart when someone wrongs us. And Lord, help us to meditate on what your Son did for us and your graciousness toward us, that we would show that same grace to others as you have shown to us. Father, we are thankful for all that you've given us. You've given us daily bread, but you've given us much more. And so we rejoice in the blessings that you have blessed us with, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us, that we would be faithful in walking according to your will this week. And then as a result of that, we would have influence in our community and in our own families for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.